Here's where we stand. Governor Tony Evers' health department has issued a safer at home order until May 26th. It restricts some businesses and demands other non-essential companies stay closed. Republican legislative leaders are suing the administration, and the case about whether the governor's office is within the law remains in front of the state Supreme Court. The justices heard oral arguments last week and were waiting for a ruling. So now it's time for the State Capitol Report here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent, and we're talking first with a Republican lawmaker, and then we bring on the Democratic lieutenant governor. And your calls are welcome at 800-642-1234. Wondering what questions you have for the state senator? Are you a business owner? What has your experience been? And what are you thinking about as you watch state leaders try to figure out how to safely reopen Wisconsin's economy? 800-642-1234. Our guest now is Chris Kapinga. He's a Republican state senator from Delafield. Senator Kapinga, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks. Great to be on again.
Governor Evers loosened restrictions for businesses, such as reopening golf courses, allowing no contact services as part of this evolution of his stay home order. What other restrictions on businesses do you think the state should evaluate?
Well, I think we have to have a systematic approach of looking at, hey, what's the risk out there? And then based on that risk, let's put measures in place that safely opens up the businesses again. So I think that's a critical piece to this. And the problem we have, one of many problems, I think, under the current administration is we have way too many restrictions that are out there in areas where, for instance, we've got one county where there's been four suicide deaths to one COVID death. I mean, we're not looking at this in a reasonable manner. I don't think anybody out there is ready to just say, let's completely open up and not have any restrictions in place. I don't think that that's a reasonable place to be. So that's why we've got to have a plan that actually looks at the risk based on a county-by-county basis and then says, based on that risk, let's allow businesses to open back up if you follow these guidelines or procedures or requirements.
Why is it the county-by-county approach that you think is the best strategy for preventing the spread of COVID-19 in our state?
Because you have 85% of the state who is not, well, actually more than that right now, because we've got even the worst hit counties are actually seeing declines. But the number one concern that we have and that public policy should have is if someone gets sick, we want to make sure that you can get treatment in a timely manner without having issues, because we don't want to have situations like we saw, for instance, out in Italy, where they had to make a choice between grandpa or grandson. We don't want to be in that situation. We don't feel that's good public policy. So if we can contain and manage the treatment and make sure every person who is sick is able to go in and get treatment, that's a reasonable approach to it. And right now, it's complete lockdown, when the healthcare system, if you look at the factors related to that, has the ability to adequately, more than adequately right now, treat anyone who is sick. And we have to start taking that just common sense approach to the situation that's, you know, obviously unprecedented.
Yeah. And Senator Kapinga, although we do hear that we do have the testing capacity and the healthcare system capacity, we still have people calling our program saying, I have symptoms, I still can't get a test. So it sounds like we aren't quite to that point in Wisconsin where you're saying it's important that everybody can get tested, everybody can get treatment. We would have the capacity to do that, but that's not actually what's in practice. Is that what you're seeing?
Well, what you have to keep in mind is, again, somebody can display symptoms, but there's two different approaches to this. And we have to take the realistic approach that we cannot stop the spread of this virus. Nobody in the health field is saying we can stop it. So then you have to say, okay, what are reasonable measures if we cannot stop the spread? It's going to spread. There's no way around that. So then that's when we say, well, if it's going to spread, we need to be able to take care of people who get sick enough where they have to go into the hospital, and then obviously the worst cases are the ones where we need ICU, and that's where the bottleneck is in the healthcare system. We've got ICU bottleneck potentially, and we've got PPE or personal protective equipment bottlenecks. Those are what we have to watch. And if we can manage that, manage the sick people coming into those bottlenecks, then we are adequately doing what public policy should do. The current approach is far beyond that. So there are going to be people who have symptoms. There are people who are going to have COVID-19. There are a significant number of people who have already had it and who are carrying the antibodies. And the testing is flushing that out. But we have to not get confused between, hey, how are we going to deal with, you know, going out there and doing contact tracing, for instance, or testing the population to see who's had this already. That's completely different from if someone gets sick, we have to be able to take care of them and make sure that they can get adequate care.
All right. Senator Chris Kambinga is a Republican state senator from Delafield, and we are talking with him here on the State Capitol Report. Taking your questions at 800-642-1234. Have you been experiencing the financial pinch of the new coronavirus pandemic as Wisconsin has this safer at home order? What has it been like for you? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. We've got Mo from Oconto on the line who has a question. Hi, Mo.
Hello. Thanks, Kaylee. Great show as always. I have a question. It seems like if you're an expendable worker, it's okay to go back to work. We don't see our legislatures going back to work eagerly. And it seems like we don't have the testing or the contact tracing. My neighbor had tested, and it was over 6 days, and he still didn't know if he had the virus. It seems to me short-sighted that you would fight a fire and then leave before it's out. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mo. And Senator Kapinga, Mo's saying he doesn't feel like we're at the place where we could do this yet.
Well, number one, again, I'll go back to contact tracing that was brought up and testing. That is a specific situation where we're saying, hey, if we want to put a tool in place that helps us going forward, where if somebody is sick, we can kind of go trace where that sickness may be going. Again, we have to segregate that from our number one concern as public policy is if someone is sick, can the hospital system handle taking care of them effectively? That is the concern. Because people are going to become more infected. It's going to spread its way through the population. And, you know, Mo, you talk about expendable worker. Every single worker out there, it doesn't matter where you work, they have a discussion with their employer. So you've got employees and employers, and it doesn't matter if it's a business or a nonprofit or whatever. They can have the conversation on, are you a vulnerable? Because we know the reality is if you're, you know, 60 or 50 and under and you don't have a immune system issue or concern, you are at very, very low risk. If you get the virus, if you will need to go in and get ICU care. But if you do, again, as long as we can handle that within the healthcare system, that's just the reality of the situation, and I think we have to keep going back to that as people talk about, you know, well, there's not good contact tracing in place, or, you know, expendable workers. If the worker and the employer have a discussion and say, we're both comfortable with it, why should they not be allowed to go and you know, why are we going to hold back as government the ability for someone to make a living?
Yep, we're talking to State Senator Chris Kapinga on this State Capitol Report. Thanks for letting me jump in. We're also taking your calls at 800-642-1234 as we talk about Wisconsin leaders looking to figure out how to reopen the state's economy and keep the public health as a priority. I'm Keely Boltina. Our State Capitol Report continues here on The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. Thanks for being with us on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. 1 week ago, Republican legislative leaders and Governor Tony Evers discussed Wisconsin's response to COVID-19. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss released a statement afterwards that it was a good initial discussion. We are hearing from another state lawmaker now, Senator Chris Kapinga, and we're talking about COVID-19 spread in Wisconsin and what the legislature can do to protect public health and support the economic well-being of people in our state. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for the senator? You can give us a call or email ideas@WPR.org. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is on the program later this morning. He's pushed against the regional approach to opening the state's economy. Let's listen.
I think for far too long, we've gotten into these regional battles where we want to view one part of the state differently from the other. And it's not fair because it creates confusion, it creates frustration, it creates unnecessary competition. We're all one state.
Senator, why do you think that a regionally specific plan to reopen the state economy would create confusion about where you can go, where you can't go, what businesses can be open, that sort of thing?
Not at all. No, absolutely not. Because right now, number one, we have to remember that this is a very short-term issue that we're dealing with. We're going to work through the pandemic, and eventually this is going to work its way through the population, and we're not going to have the worry that we have right now. So we have to keep that in mind. This is not a long-term thing that that we've got to deal with. So what we have to do is we've got all the measurements in place in order to say, hey, you know what, if you've got if you're in a specific area where there's low risk, and we can easily assess risk out there based on certain factors, if it's low risk, we should not be locking their economy down. We should not be locking families down. We should not be locking nonprofits down. That is, it's a very easy thing to look at because the data is readily available. And to say fairness, well, it's just not fair that we're dealing with a situation. That's just the reality of life sometimes is we can't take a blanket approach to the state when we've got 85, 90% of the state that's not having any significant issues. They're all in the low risk category. We have to take the approach of saying, you know what, if you live out in a county where there's not a lot going on right now, there's plenty of capacity for the healthcare system to make sure we're helping people who are sick get treatment, there shouldn't be an unconstitutional limitation of your ability to exercise your individual freedoms. And that's the approach that the administration is taking that is completely off base.
And, yeah, that constitutionality in front of the Supreme Court right now, the state Supreme Court. But, Senator, I do want to ask, though, if you do this regional approach, and you say, well, Door County doesn't have that many cases, so we'll open everything up there. But Milwaukee and Madison, you have to be shut down. We had a conversation about polio on this show where we talked about the fact that in these times of contagious disease, people leave heavily populated areas and try to spread out. How are you going to protect these regions where there aren't very many people from having, you know, new cases come in because people say, well, business is open there, so I'm going to go stay there for a few weeks? How are you going to do that legislatively?
Well, there's actually, one of the models that we've built, the plan that I worked with different organizations on, takes that into consideration. So OSHA has a risk factor called interactive concentration risk, and I'm not going to get too wonky here because you can really get in the weeds, but it essentially says, we can look at an organization in its normal course of business and understand how much transient population will be part of coming in. And we have to assess a risk factor or assign a risk factor based on that and several other things. So that's naturally built into a risk model that we've got that says, hey, if there's the contact within an organization in its natural course of business is very high, so lots of common touching of surfaces for like retail, stuff like that, you can take that into account, but you don't have to lock down that business completely. And the other really important thing here is we have to remember the vulnerable population still has the choice to say, for instance, my mom, who's in her 70s, is high risk. She has the ability and is making the decision to say, I know that I'm high risk and I'm not going to go into a retail establishment or eat in a restaurant right now because I just know naturally that's not good or healthy for me. Or if my daughter, for instance, who's a type 1 diabetic, she's immunocompromised. She knows, I know that there are places where I'm not going to go. People still have the choice and ordinary people have common sense to go use as they go exercise their freedom to go into society.
Senator Kapinga. Senator Chris Kapinga is a Republican state senator from Delafield, and we have some calls ready, and people want to talk with you. Jim from Dubuque. Hey, Jim.
Hi. I don't think we should have done a shutdown. I think we should have protected the most vulnerable people, the 1 or 2% that are seriously affected by this. People don't seem to remember that the swine flu infected 1.4 billion people worldwide and killed over 750,000. And this panic reaction to something which is clearly less lethal is destroying the economy. And I think it's being used as an excuse to cover an economic collapse that was coming anyway.
All right, Jim, thanks for that. And Chris, Senator Kapinga, it sounds like, Jim saying that the shutdown should be ended. So there is some support there for certainly this idea that we can't stay on lockdown forever, which we've heard from both parties, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's as public policy, we always have to take the balance. We have to take input. We have to make our final decisions. That's why we're elected to do those, and sometimes those are tough decisions. But Jim is right, where we've got a lot of people out there who are like, listen, let us go exercise our freedom of making a choice of if I don't want to go out and I want to stay in my house because I'm concerned about my health, we have to allow them to do that. But in the midst of that, we do have unprecedented economic collapse going on that affects every single person in this state, because now you've got questions on, I have to go out and I have to feed my family and pay my rent or pay my mortgage and go buy groceries. And when I go into the store, and because of the pandemic, we've got sections of our aisles that are bare because either the food supply is not coming through or you've got people who are hoarding. You know, those are everyday concerns that the reality of these public policies on either side have an impact. And Jim's right on with his concern where, you know, overreaching, especially in our situation where we feel it's a significant overreach of power, we have to step in and stop that and allow people to function in our society.
All right, let's bring on Andy from Oshkosh now. Hi, Andy.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Just had a response to Senator Kapinga's statement about that people should be having conversations with employers, and employers are, you know, saying, yep, we're going to, keep you at home. That's a great theory. And I think most employers are doing a pretty good job. But we've had different cases where, the employers said, it doesn't really matter if your daughter has lupus or if you're have asthma, and they're forcing people to go back to work. Those are the stories that you're not hearing about. And I just fundamentally disagree with that statement. So I'll hang up. Thank you.
Andy, thanks for bringing it up. Senator Kapinga, is this a fair conversation? If you have employers who say we need you to work and someone feels uncomfortable, there's a power dynamic there.
Well, two things. Number one, I haven't heard of those situations. I'm not going to say they're not out there, but a lot of times people go down the road of, well, this could happen, therefore it must be a reality. I have not heard of any of those situations. And if you talk to employers and employees, again, we're all using common sense during these unprecedented times. Number two, we have a system in place, though, where if it does happen where somebody says, I can't go back to work, we have unemployment insurance in place to help a family through that. So that, we don't have the situation where you have a choice of either I feed my family or I don't. You know, when President Trump put his policies in place and it passed through Congress, they put through pretty significant benefits for a period of time to help us work through this. So that concern, even though I understand where you can you can go in your head on that, I haven't seen it happening. And if it would happen, there is a system in place to make sure that somebody doesn't go hungry and can't feed their family.
So if my are you saying that if my employer says we need you to show up to work and I say I don't feel comfortable doing that because it's a health risk to my family, that I'll still be eligible for those benefits?
Yes, correct. The work requirements and the work search in place right now has been waived. So if you look at the UI system, in a typical situation where somebody just walks out And again, this gets a little bit into the weeds on how it functions, but the legislation that was passed essentially says, because we're in a very unique situation, if somebody can't go back to work in this time period, they're able to go get their UI benefits.
Okay, we'll look into that further and make sure that we get people the links that they need there. Senator Kapinga, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate the update that you're able to give us.
Yeah, thank you.
Chris Kapinga is a Republican state senator from Delafield, and we have been talking about how Wisconsin should open the economy back up, get people moving again. Senator Kapinga prefers a regional approach as opposed to a statewide mandate. Up next is the news, then the state capitol report continues with Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. We continue to take your calls at 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.